I'd just like to make a comment or two on the end of the previous chapter. We didn't say too much about it, but in the 24th verse, the Lord wanted the disciples to be with him for this purpose, that they might behold his glory, which he had, that the Father had given him. And that's the final desire of the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus, after he goes into death and rises again, it's all glory. All glory. And he wants his disciples to enter into that glory. But then another note here, in the 25th verse, we have the righteous Father. So we already have Father, an old Father, and Holy Father. But now it's righteous Father because it has to do with the world. The world has not known me, but I have known you. And these have known what God has sent me. And so God's attitude toward the world is he's a righteous Father who will not allow sin in any way. And so the world is under judgment.
All precious that he has given provided a remedy.
Yeah. And those who believe,
yeah, the remedy is there. Yeah. It's provided. And then the 24th verse, it takes the whole redeemed company into him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's all, every believer, he would have us there with him,
yeah,
to behold his glory.
The Lord's ministry to his disciples really ends in the 16th chapter. The 17th chapter is of his prayer, the Lord's prayer. And now all this has passed, and he's on his way to the cross. This brook, Cedron, is the historic river. It's the same one that David crossed, I believe, in his rejection of the God. He was a type of Christ. There was a garden, and he enters with his disciples. Judas, one of his disciples, knew the place and had often been with him there. Judas is a perfect tool for Satan. Pointed with the ways of the Lord and the disciples. And now Satan's going to use them to the utmost. It's strange that one who starts out so well and has the opportunity of salvation, who turns against them, who wouldn't listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, he became a thief. Then he departed from the living God. Get that in Hebrews. Hebrews 2. That's the pattern of the apostasy. He wouldn't listen to the word of God. Then he became a thief. Then he departed from the living God.
The word resorted in that second verse is sweet. It speaks volumes. It's a little different for ones who go because they want to resort to resort him in this place. The Lord Jesus resorted thither with his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It meets a need.
It's often the case when
place of prayer, very likely it was, you know.
This no doubt was at night. Have all the lanterns and torches and weapons.
A couple of the other Gospels, we have the disciples in their weakness. I think when they fell asleep, when the Lord was praying, when the Lord said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It would be said that the difference between Judas and the other disciples is that in his case, the spirit was not willing. They all had weakness in their flesh, as we all do. But in Judas' case, he didn't have the spirit of the rest of the disciples.
That's right. Yes. I think the hearts of the other disciples were right, but there was weakness in the flesh, which is true of all of us. Unless the Spirit of God caused us to act or move, we can't do it. There's too much weakness in the flesh. In this gospel, we have something a little different from the others in this way, that in Matthew we have the king, and in Mark the servant, perfect servant, son of God. In Luke we have the perfect man, but now we have the Son of God before us. And the Son of God is going to act in John with the power and authority in spite of all that's around him. You'll notice here it says, fourth verse, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. He uses the initiative here. He went forth. He came to take him, but he went forth. I think we'll see that through this part of the gospel standing out in a particular way. He said, whom seek ye? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. He is not in the original. It's just I am. He's the great I am. Some of these things you don't have quite the same way in the other gospels. And Judas also betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. No one could stand before the great I am, unless he permits it. The great I am suggests that there was no beginning with him. Present tense, all the way through. He became man, that's true, but that didn't change his person. And that's where the teaching today, so much of it has gone wrong, because they said that when Jesus was here on earth, he was a different person. He was the same person, but he was a man. That didn't change his person. That's basic doctrine. If we don't hold to that, we go astray. I am the always was. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the way he answers his accusers.
It wasn't that he was different. It was that his glory was veiled by spirit. It would have been impossible otherwise.
Yeah. But things like this come out to show who he is. They went backward and fell to the ground. You would have thought they would have stopped there. And they realized who he was, but perhaps they didn't realize even then. He'd been doing miracles at all times. I believe, though, there are inferences in the gospel that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, knew who he was. And that's so solemn. To know who he was, we still go ahead with this. Crucified the Son of God. They were steeped in tradition. Tradition to them was more than anything else, more than even the Son of God. It's the strongest bonds that ties a man, tradition. You learn in another gospel that the Pharisees and the people were so bent upon tradition that they put it above the Word of God. We read in the 17th of John, none of them is lost, the son of perdition. The Lord says to them, if ever you seek me, let thieves go their way. The disciples were not affected by this. In fact, they all forsook him and fled, we learn. It didn't take the disciples. In other words, the Lord Jesus was commanding the situation. He wouldn't allow them to take his disciples.
When you spoke of the Pharisees knowing who Jesus was, it's important to remember too, isn't it? They didn't take him because the Lord Jesus let them. And in the sense that the Lord knew, we had that in the verse 4 that you mentioned, the Lord knew all the things that were going to happen to them before they happened. We had that back in the 13th chapter, I believe, when the Lord said that he knew the things that were going to happen. Even as time has come.
That's right. Them which thou gavest me have I lost none. The Lord didn't give him Judas. He gave him the disciples. John is the only gospel that tells us who cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. John tells on people. We don't get that in the other gospels, I believe. Then the Lord helped Peter put up his sword. When she cups which my father has given me, shall I not drink it? We learn from one of the Gospels that the Lord may be here, but I don't know if it, that the Lord healed the ear. And that's a nice thought. Using it in a typical way, we have to acknowledge that we have cut off ears too. And at any time we may cut off ears. But the Lord heals them. For those who are in dependence upon him.
How blessed to know that the Lord undertakes for us in that respect. All in his hands. The words that are used, the words of the mouth and the touch the heart.
When the Psalms were
written, very likely you're right in the 119th Psalm.
I'm not sure the Lord knows what I believe in the Psalm.
The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. The 14th verse refers back to the 11th chapter and the 49th verse, starting there, to the 54th verse. Now consider that as expedient for us, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish to death. And this spake he not of himself, of being high priest that year. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad, that formed the church. Then from that day forth they took counsel and told. That's the reference, I believe, this verse 14 in our chapter.
Could it be said that in going back to the verse 13 and 14, we have Annas and Caiaphas. In Acts chapter 4, we have Peter standing among them. Would that be the second chance that they had to hear the gospel?
Well, I suppose.
When Peter stands and tells them that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world.
I believe. It was then, after the work was finished.
Mm-hmm.
So they're responsible for the testimony of the Spirit of God after the resurrection.
How was it that this other disciple, who I take it to be with John, how was it that he was known unto the high priest?
Kinsman. Divine links to testimony.
Say that again in different words.
Well, everything in Scripture is according to a plan. We may not always see it, but it is. And this had to be so. This is fulfilling a testimony in regard to the Lord Jesus and his disciples. It's a link. We find in this chapter, 10, before this, we find that Peter had made a statement that he would never deny the Lord. And Scripture says, thus saith they all. So they all had made this statement. Now you and I have been, most of us here have been in the assembly for a good many years. And we may look at Peter and say, Peter, you're an apostle. Why did you do this? But
Shall we not look back at last week and the week before? Have we always been faithful to the Lord? And here we've had more light than Peter. Peter wasn't even, didn't even have the Spirit indwelling yet. But the disciples too. But Peter is following a course downward, and we can learn from this, because if we start on this course, and we read the scriptures, we'll say to ourselves, oh, I'm on that course, I better stop. First, that self-complacency, that thinking of himself and all the power he had, which he had none, whatever, except through grace. He would never deny the Lord. No, never. He could die with it. But as soon as they came to take Jesus, the disciples fled. That's the first thing. And then we see that that Peter followed afar off. We get that in the chapter. This kinsman of the high priest, John, he brought Peter in. You don't get that in the other Gospels. And then Peter warns himself. First he said, I'll die with you. Then he fled. And now he warms himself with the fire of the enemy. And he has an opportunity to confess Christ 3 times, but he denies him all 3 times. So that's the course downward. And if we start the first step, we better watch out. If we say, yes, I'll never do that, don't ever say a thing like that. Because we'll do anything unless the Lord teaches. But let me say this. A man is not able for himself. You know what I mean?
If we don't believe it, we can certainly experience it. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give his brother a ransom for it. We can't give a ransom for someone else. We can't give a ransom for ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. What is it? God, I'm not going to cross it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. There's a verse here. Excuse me. For not to, I thought it was a verse about.
You mean Psalm 16, the first verse?
Well, yeah, that you know, deserve your God. There appears to be several little touches in the Gospel of John concerning John and Peter that aren't mentioned in some of the other Gospels. That to me has been, one of those strokes of the divine brush. It's beautiful. Bob Ray, a brother down in North Carolina, was making a portrait of a man of his father. And Duna was, oh, that's not my father at all. He took it back and he made just a few little, just a slight change in the chin line and just a few little brush marks. And he took it back and the man said, oh, that's my father, that's my father. You know, and so the brush marks, I enjoy seeing some of the brush marks of the divine master. And yet then there seems to be just a little bit of a thing, at least from Peter's standpoint, in the last chapter, what about this man? And you know, then in the book of Acts, I think it's nice. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple. But there are certain little touches, aren't there? Like you mentioned, that it isn't mentioned in the other Gospels. It was John.
We have the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, and we might say as God in the epistle of John. It's his divine person that's before us. That's why it says, and Jesus went forward. I don't think it's different. Jesus went forward. It says in the fourth verse, went forth, I should say. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, that's his divine person, went forth. Now, this is always true, but the other disciples don't bring it out quite this way, the other writers. And also, we find that at the cross, the Lord Jesus is in command. Even back in the 17th of John, when he prays for his disciples. And here, at the cross, or in the Gethsemane, he said, if you seek me, let these go their way. He was in command. In other words, he commanded them not to take his disciples. He was in charge. This is peculiar to this gospel. And other things could be mentioned.
For the distribution of the bread at that time of the blessing, the 5,000, the other gospel says that the Lord gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Really, the new translation brings out that the Lord blessed and directed the
John.
And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. The disciples and others said that really was experience. Marvelous. Burnt offering character? Gospel of John?
Yes. We could explain that. In Matthew, we have the sin and trespass offering. In other words, the Lord is offering himself up for the people as a sin offering, as a trespass offering. That's the character of the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Mark, he has that meat offering. It's service, ministry. That's the character of the gospel. The Lord offered his life up in service to the Father. In Luke, it's the peace offering. He's made peace. Everything is settled. That's why you get in that 20th, 19th chapter.